Tonight, the alarming new warning about COVID-19 as millions face a life-threatening tropical storm. Isaias now slamming the East Coast. The powerful rainmaker that claimed at least three lives in the Caribbean now lashing the Florida coast. Tracking north, possible landfall in the Carolinas. Watches and warnings in effect tonight in the Northeast as the system prepares to make a run along the East Coast. Rob Marciano standing by. COVID's new phase. Dr. Deborah Birx of the White House Coronavirus Task Force warning the virus is now extraordinarily widespread, that no Americans are completely safe, even in the most rural areas. The surge in cases fueling fear for some parents over returning to school, and the human toll tonight as deaths continue to mount. The husband who visited his dying wife of more than 30 years wearing full PPE to say goodbye, contracting the virus as well, he did not survive. Out of control, the inferno in Southern California, more than doubling in size overnight and no containment as firefighters scramble to protect thousands of homes. Nearly 8,000 nearby residents told to evacuate in the middle of a pandemic. And tonight, arson investigators are on the scene. Mission accomplished, the historic splashdown late today in the Gulf of Mexico, the first in the SpaceX Dragon carrying two NASA astronauts.
Thanks for flying SpaceX.
Back on planet Earth after 2 months in space. The military training disaster as the search ends for seven missing Marines and one sailor, all of them presumed dead. Shark danger after that deadly great white attack off Maine and a string of shark sightings near New York City. Lifeguards patrolling the surf for predators and a 15-year-old boy bitten off the coast of Alabama, 25 stitches, but lucky to be alive. Missing Met, the star outfielder who failed to show up for today's game with no explanation, what the team has now revealed. Miracle rescue, a teenager lost 8 days alone in the wilderness after running out of gas. Tonight, her parents revealing how she survived and how authorities got a break in the case. And the big screen goodbye, the famous face behind so many memorable roles.
From ABC News, this is ABC World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin tonight with Tropical Storm Isaias lashing the Florida coast and preparing for a dangerous run north along the East Coast that will have an impact on millions. The system churning off the East Coast of Florida tonight, blowing trees and debris, sustained winds now at 70 miles per hour. At least three people were killed as Isaias carved through the Caribbean as a Category 1 hurricane. Tonight, flash flood watches have been issued in the Carolinas where there could be a landfall. Before the system races north along the coast with Philly, D.C., and New York all expecting stormy weather this week. Of course, this battle against Mother Nature comes as Americans remain locked in a battle against COVID-19. ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Florida tonight.
Tonight, the entire East Coast on high alert. Isaias, now a tropical storm, lashing Florida with strong winds, heavy rain, and destructive storm surge. Coastal communities in a state of emergency.
Please continue to avoid the beaches for the next few days.
Across the Caribbean, dangerous flooding and winds over 80 miles per hour. The storm claiming at least three lives across Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. Isaias now on the shores of the U.S.
Water and waves driving onto this beach, and now with the storm's track riding up the coast, storm surge is going to be a problem all the way up to New England.
The Carolinas bracing for landfall, heavy rain and wind, and coastal flooding a certainty.
We're asking North Carolinians in the storm's path to make sure they are prepared.
Vacationers forced to evacuate the coast ahead of the storm.
Disappointed and frustrated and sad.
All right, Rob joins us now from Melbourne Beach, Florida. And Rob, we've been watching your shot for the last hour. Conditions there getting worse as Isaias heads north.
And it's getting stronger, Tom. Nearly a hurricane once again, and just 40 miles to my east and picking up steam. We have new alerts up for the northeast, including tropical storm watches now for New York, Connecticut, and in through Rhode Island. Flood watches as well all the way back through inland areas. Right, the center, there it is. Tonight it's going to pass through Daytona Beach, east of Jacksonville and Savannah during the day tomorrow, and then make an official U.S. landfall somewhere around Myrtle Beach tomorrow night. We've laid in the rainfall because that's going to be the big player. Across the Carolinas, Virginia, 4 to 6 inches of rain. It'll cross in through New York City Tuesday night before weakening on Wednesday. But as you can see, nearly everyone on the East Coast getting a piece of Isaias. Tom.
And as you mentioned, strengthening tonight. All right, Rob, thank you. We turn now to the fight against the coronavirus and an alarming admission from the White House task force coordinator today. Dr. Deborah Birx saying the U.S. has entered a, quote, new phase in the pandemic, citing how extraordinarily widespread transmission has become nationwide. The death toll in the U.S. rapidly approaching 155,000 lives lost, a number the CDC says will continue to rise. And tonight, as Americans worry about safety in schools, the story of one couple married for decades, both lost to COVID-19 within weeks. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, one of the nation's top public health experts warning the pandemic is entering a new phase.
What we're seeing today is different from March and April. It is extraordinarily widespread.
22 states, D.C. and Puerto Rico, seeing their case numbers climb. And Dr. Deborah Birx had this message for states only now experiencing outbreaks.
Everybody who lives in a rural area, you are not immune.
July saw 1.9 million new cases of COVID-19 in this country, shattering the previous record. And today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi blasting the federal response, saying she doesn't have confidence in Dr. Birx or her assessment of the threat.
I think the president is spreading disinformation about the virus, and she is his appointee.
I have tremendous respect for the speaker. I have never been called Pollyannish or non-scientific or non-data-driven, and I will stake my 40-year career on those fundamental principles.
One of those states with increasing cases, Indiana, and they're impacting just reopened schools. Greenfield Central Junior High reporting students testing positive in their first week, even first day back.
Getting a phone call saying your child's going to need to stay home for 2 weeks. Disappointing, yes.
Today, the Louisiana Department of Health reporting 10% of the state's new cases are children, a bigger portion than people over 70.
For the people who want to send their kids back to school this fall, how are they going to change their behaviors now to earn that right? And I don't believe I'm seeing a lot of evidence in most of the country that people understand that what they do now matters to what the country looks like in the future.
And tonight, the Reck family, one of more than 154,000 American families devastated by this disease. Sam and Joanne had been married close to 30 years when her COVID diagnosis forced the couple apart. At 90 years old, it was too contagious, too risky for Sam to visit. He sent video messages instead.
Practically every picture I have has got you in there. I love you, darling, and I hope you really enjoy this video.
But as Joanne was in her final hours, her devoted husband insisted on seeing her one last time, donning full PPE to sit by her side.
You don't recognize me with all this junk on my face. It is Sam. I love you, sweetheart. I love you so much.
He did risk his life to go see my mom, but that was his choice.
Just 3 weeks after that touching goodbye, Sam met the same cruel fate his wife did, struggling for breath, fighting COVID-19, dying Saturday in the same room. Before he passed, his stepson asked Sam if he regretted that visit to the hospital. Sam replied, not one second.
You let me hold your hand. Feel me squeezing your hand?
That he was happy to have held her hand one more time.
The story of Sam and Joanne, it's just so devastating. So many families torn apart. Trevor Ault joins us now from New York. And Trevor, on that point, today, Dr. Deborah Birx telling families in multi-generational households to take even more precautions.
Well, Tom, beyond wearing a mask in public, Dr. Birx says people who live with older or higher risk family members should actually consider wearing a mask inside their homes. She's also telling any American who travels to act as if they've been infected and consider self-isolating. Tom.
Trevor Ault with those painful realities tonight. All right, Trevor, thank you. Now to Southern California, where the Apple Fire near Palm Springs has exploded in size. Firefighters battling the blaze from the sky you see here and on the ground trying to protect nearby homes. Triple-digit heat isn't helping the firefight, and the thousands told to evacuate must do so in the middle of a pandemic. ABC's Zareen Shaw is near the fire line tonight in California.
Tonight, firefighters defenseless against the monstrous Apple Fire. The inferno erupting for a second night in a row, growing 10 times in size, now 20,000 acres burned. The blaze 0% contained, crews on the ground and in the air growing frustrated, with conditions providing little hope.
I can anticipate, at least in the next few days are going to be critical for the firefighters. And I would anticipate us being out here for at least the next week.
Multiple structures destroyed, including at least one home. 2,500 more now in danger. More than 8,000 people forced to evacuate with no time to spare, including Ketsen Chang and her one-year-old baby.
And we had a lot of trouble finding a place to stay last night. So me and the baby kind of stayed in the car last night.
This couple in their 90s, struggling to deal with the pandemic, now at the mercy of an unrelenting fire.
We'll persevere. Someday we'll get back home.
Tom, tonight arson investigators are on the scene trying to determine if this fire was intentionally set. Tom?
Serene Shaw for us tonight. Serene, thank you. Tonight, mission accomplished. NASA and SpaceX completing a historic feat this afternoon when two U.S. astronauts in the SpaceX Dragon capsule splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico. Here's ABC's Gio Benitez.
Tonight, that historic splashdown.
Splashdown.
Dragon Endeavor has returned home.
Astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley inside the SpaceX Dragon Endeavor for this 19-hour journey to Earth, orbiting the planet at a mind-blowing 17,000 miles per hour before entering the atmosphere at 2:36 p.m. Eastern. The extreme heat cutting off all communications between the Dragon and Earth for four tense minutes.
Hoping and praying everything is going well. And look, we just made history. The United States of America once again has a human spaceflight program.
At 2:40, the astronauts signal they're okay.
Never has it loud and clear.
4 minutes later, those chutes deploy. Dragon ultimately slowing down to just 15 miles per hour, splashing down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Welcome back to planet Earth, and thanks for flying SpaceX.
The Dragon avoiding Tropical Storm Isaias in the Atlantic. Astronaut Doug Hurley with the first words from inside the Dragon.
It was truly our honor and privilege.
A recovery boat loading up the Dragon, the heat shield underneath it charred by that re-entry, 3,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Locals racing in their own boats to get a view.
Maybe next time we shouldn't announce our landing zone.
The recovery team wearing masks and hazmat suits. Bob and Doug emerging on stretchers, feeling gravity for the first time in 64 days. The first American splashdown in 45 years since the Apollo era.
An incredible day for SpaceX and NASA. Gio Benitez joins us now live from the Johnson Space Center in Houston. And Gio, tonight the big question, how are the space dads, as they call them, Bob and Doug, doing?
Well, Tom, tonight we're told they are doing very well. In fact, they're already on their way back home to Houston. Tom.
Gio Benitez for us tonight. Gio, thank you for that. Now to the high alert as America's beaches after a swimmer's death in Maine and several shark sightings near New York City. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, danger in the surf. Lifeguards on shark patrol. More than a dozen sightings this week.
We are patrolling over 4 miles of beach, over a dozen shark sightings, and six of those are confirmed bull shark sightings, which are incredibly dangerous sharks.
A shark spotted Saturday, forcing swimming restrictions at several Long Island beaches today. This 21-year-old college student reeling in an 8-foot-long bull shark near Lido Beach, weighing up to 400 pounds.
Just bigger. Yeah, everything was just bigger. The teeth, fish itself, everything.
In Alabama, 15-year-old Maximus Chilton bitten in the foot by a shark when swimming.
There was like deep, deep gashes on the right side of my foot. Like I was just like, whoa, like that just happened.
This great white shark spotted off the coast of Maine just days after 63-year-old Julie D'Imperio Hollowock was killed by one while swimming, the first known fatality in the state.
Oftentimes, you know, when you're interacting with a shark, it's mistaken identities.
The Shark Patrol lifeguards here tell me, listen out for the warnings. And if you see large animals in the water, don't go in. That's really what the shark may be after. Tom.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you for that. Turning to some sad news now, the search for seven missing Marines and one missing sailor off Southern California is now a recovery mission. All eight service members are presumed dead. Eight other Marines from Camp Pendleton were rescued when their amphibious vehicle started taking on water during a training exercise Thursday. One Marine died, two are in critical condition. The use of those vehicles in water training exercises has been suspended pending the investigation. Next tonight, the passing of an actor whose supporting roles often stole the show.
Come sundown, there's going to be two things true that ain't true now.
With that signature cadence, mustache, and no-nonsense manner, Wilford Brimley built a career in Hollywood that spanned five decades. His most popular hit, Cocoon, the 1980 sci-fi movie about a fountain of youth.
When we get where we're going, we'll never be sick, we won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
His bread and butter was in supporting roles, from The Natural with Robert Redford.
Well, you don't start playing ball at your age, you retire.
To The Firm with Tom Cruise.
The FBI wouldn't have come after you if they didn't think they'd get to you.
He was so good, his roles were as memorable as the megastar sharing the scenes with him.
Don't get too smart. Pretty smart myself.
His career began when he was shoeing horses on movie sets before getting non-speaking roles in westerns. His breakthrough, a recurring role in the TV series The Waltons.
What about all them books you bought?
His longtime manager said he had a tough exterior and a tender heart. That helped when he picked up work as a pitch man for products like Quaker Oats.
It's the right thing to do.
Also using his own battle with diabetes to advocate for testing supplies.
If you have diabetes, you check your blood sugar and you check it often.
The actor also showed a sense of humor. Among his 77 credits, a turn on Seinfeld lampooning his gruff demeanor as the Postmaster General.
In addition to being a postmaster, I'm a general. And we both know it's the job of a general to, by God, get things done.
Brimley once said he was never good at pretending to be someone he wasn't. The key to good acting? To be true to yourself.
Wilford Brimley was 85 years old.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with a miracle rescue, a teenager found after more than a week lost in the woods, using only berries and creek water to stay alive. Here's ABC's Janae Norman.
Tonight, rescuers are calling it a miracle, a teenager surviving 8 days alone in the Washington wilderness.
And he told my husband to give your wife a hug because we found your daughter alive.
Gia Fuda, seen smiling tonight with family, disappeared July 24th. Investigators finding her car on a King County highway, her purse still inside, but no sign of Gia or her phone for more than a week. Her parents in agony.
And honestly, the search people, they thought she was dead. I mean, they were searching for her body.
Search crews covered hundreds of miles, and then Saturday, a break in the case. Crews finding a notebook and clothing, and then Gia, dehydrated but alive. She'd gotten lost trying to get help after her car ran out of gas, surviving for more than a week on creek water and berries, telling her parents their advice kept her alive.
I used to tell the girls on the soccer team, never give up. Never, ever give up. And she said, Dad, I remember you telling me that. And so I didn't.
And tonight, Gia's in the hospital recovering. Her parents say she is okay overall, but they say that she is strong, she's a fighter, and Tom, they say that's what saved her.
Clearly a fighter. All right, Janae. Time now for the Index and the Met star mystery.
Major League outfielder Yoenny Cespedes missing the team's game against the Braves in Atlanta today. The Mets saying his room was found empty and they had not heard from him. His agent later informing them he would not be playing the remainder of the season over coronavirus concerns. 18 players have opted out for the season. And the FDA is once again expanding its list of potentially toxic hand sanitizers. The agency now warning against more than 100 products that may contain methanol, which could be toxic when absorbed through the skin or ingested. We have much more information on our website. Finally tonight, a mother and daughter connecting in a way like never before. The incredible moment caught on camera. When Mavis Malone from Topeka, Kansas was born, her parents noticed something was different. Their baby wasn't reacting to things. It turned out she had a condition that led to a total hearing loss. So the family tried hearing aids, but when they stopped working, her parents knew they had to try something else, opting for cochlear implants. And this past Thursday, those electronic implants were activated.
Can you hear me?
Tonight, we're telling Mavis a story because at that moment, something extraordinary happened. Her family captured it with a camera. The miracle of science, touching a child's soul. Here it is, two-year-old Mavis reacting to hearing her mother's voice.
Can you hear Mama? Mama?
Yeah.
I think you can hear me.
I think that is it.
Oh.
Oh, sweetie, it's okay.
Oh, big girl.
Yeah, there was a big smile. That's Mama.
Mavis, like so many of us watching her, overcome with emotion. And this morning, playing with her brother, a joy she can see and now hear.
Hi.
We are so happy for Mavis. Thank you so much for watching tonight. I'm Tom Yamas in New York.